I'm sorry. No, we're not. We're going to take 10 and 11 out of order because we have Mr. Langer, who's here from the Windy City, and I know he's anxious to get back there.
Oh, God.
And we don't want to.
So we'll call you 10, please, for the hair loss.
A resolution by Supervisors Sanfilippo, Rice, and Cesars authorizing and directing the Employee Benefits Work Group to fully develop a graduated defined contribution pension plan to replace the existing defined benefit plan and to report back with a final plan for implementation. This item was referred to the committees also to the Committee on Finance and Audit. At our December 10th meeting, this item was referred to the Long Range Strategic Planning Committee, Employee Benefits Work Group, Corporation Council, and Labor Relations.
Okay, I guess I am chairing this item because the chair of this committee is prominent in this resolution. So we have before us Mr. Larry Langer and attorney Mark Grady. Gentlemen, why don't we look to you both first to start us off, and then we can get into questions.
Mr. Chairman and supervisors, the work group took the resolution or the proposal that was passed to us and passed it on to Mr. Langer to do an actuarial report. He has done one. It's dated September 15th. Hopefully it's in your packet, and then I'll let Mr. Langer speak to the analysis. Just to, as background, this is the idea here was closing the current pension plan either to all employees going forward or to new hires going forward, two options, and then replacing it with a defined contribution type plan that has a graduated match from the employer from 1 up to 4% based on years of service.
All right. Hey, Mr. Chair, supervisors, you have this.
Just make sure that's on.
Right. You have a September 15th letter in front of you, actuaries review of the financial impact of closing the defined benefit plan. This is similar to what was reviewed probably summer of 2010 or 9, somewhere in that time frame. Although I see some new faces around, so we'll go through this in some detail. So I'll work my way through the letter. In terms of this analysis, there are two components of analysis. I'm on the first page of the letter. First is a change in benefits and eligibility. There's two scenarios sitting out here. The first one is benefits for those hired before January 1st, 2012 is what we have as of date. The benefits for those folks will remain unchanged. They'll stay in the DB plan, and they'll continue to accrue benefits under the provisions of the plan. Under Scenario 2, when we talk about Scenario 2 throughout this analysis, Scenario 2 is benefits under the DB plan stop accruing and people go into the DC plan. And by stop accruing, that means no more service, no more salary increases. Now, that's piece one, the benefits and eligibility. Piece two is the with regard to funding policy changes when the plan is closed. Currently, when you fund up your defined benefit pension system, you pay for something called normal cost, the cost of benefits accruing, and any shortfall with regard to the amount of assets you have to cover, benefits accrued to date, that gets amortized over various pieces, upwards of 30 years. In switching to a DC plan of this nature or closing out the benefits to new hires, the recommendation is to fund up the benefits over the remaining payroll of the group. And so what it has the tendency to do, as we'll see, is to pay off those unfunded liabilities by the time the last member leaves active service. So when you look and some of the amortization of the unfunded liability in the current DB plan is over up to 30 years, when you start talking about this and you pay it off by the time the last person leaves, much of the contributions for unfunded liability are paid off in the first 5 to 10 years as opposed to stretching out over a longer period of time. So those are the two components that you'll see in terms of impact on the contributions. All right, in terms of closing the plan, at the top of page two, we have a few exhibits with regard to closing the plan, and If we talk about something, the present value of future benefits. Present value of future benefits is the amount in today's dollars. If you had it on hand, it'd be sufficient to pay for benefits for folks currently in the system. We have this under scenario one, which just means no new employees in the DB plan, and scenario two, which says no future benefit accruals. And you can see the present value of future benefits under scenario one is that $2.199 billion number, and under scenario two, the $1.929 billion number. That's the amounts that you want to fund up under the DB plan. Compared to the market value of assets, and all these numbers are as of January 1, 2011, that's the latest valuation we've done. Market value of assets at that point was just under $1.9 billion, and it leaves, under scenario one, $304 million to be funded under scenario two, because you're not taking into consideration future accruals, $34.2 million. We amortize both of these over the payroll of current actives, and we end up with a contribution rate of 20% of pay under scenario one, which results in a contribution of $46.5 million, and then under scenario two, a contribution of about $5 million. Any questions up to date? We're good? All right. Ober system, the numbers are very small. The thoughts are the same. I'm going to skip that unless someone wants to say no. It's just the Ober plan, it's a very small plan. All right. So moving on to page three. I'm going to just get into some of the exhibits. You know, page three, one of the things that we talk about is this is based on the same assumptions we've used within the current valuation. The one element that's not in here is, you know, within the valuation, we make use of an actual value of assets, a smooth value of assets. It changes the timing of your contributions for this purpose of this analysis just very little. So to make it a little simpler, we just sort of push that aside. There's exhibits. Page 5 starts the exhibits of the analysis. And one thing after this was submitted, and it has to be tucked in the back of folks' heads, there were a lot of changes within the retirement system over the past several months. And one of those changes that has come about is in terms of there are now member contributions within here. The member contributions are not baked into, when we start talking about current provisions, they're not baked into this analysis yet. It probably makes some sense to bake them in into the analysis at some point in the future to give a few true sense of when you're comparison employer contributions. Let me walk across on this exhibit one on page five. The first column, the projected salary for current actives. You know, this amount here, exhibit one, you know, under scenario one, again, it's the plan closed to new actives. Anything showing up scenario two is the plan's closed to future accruals. If we look at the projected salary for current actives, this is the amount over which the unfunded liability is paid off. And, you know, interesting. I will say this is interesting, but usually it's just interesting to an actuary, so it might not be interesting a lot of people. All right, just so we have that framed up.
Mr. Langer, is it safe to say this might be a cure for insomnia?
No. I read this stuff if I can't. Oh, wait, cure for insomnia, yes. That was like a double negative in my mind. You're absolutely right, yes. I even read this stuff to nod off. Okay, so, you know, the current salary roughly within the valuation is about $221 million. All these numbers are in million. And the interesting deal to me is that this is for the folks currently within the plan. You know, and as part of the valuation, we anticipate people terminating and retiring and all that wonderful stuff. And the salary for the group, despite the fact that we bake in salary increases within the valuation, the salary for the group dips to about half by 2020 or within 9 years. The population shrinks up that fast. So anyways, that is the basis, that projected salary is the basis for our developing contributions under Scenario 1 and Scenario 2 within the evaluation. So these are projected contributions under the current retirement system. And the current provisions, this is based upon, and all these numbers are based upon not having member contributions, but you see the amount starting at about $26.8 million and working their way up over time. Again, we're anticipating new members coming into the group, which is within this plan, but current provisions, you see a projection of the contributions over the course of time.
May I interrupt just for a
second? Yeah.
Mr. Langer mentions that this does not include the employee contributions, which obviously affects not the retirement system cost, but the county's portion of that cost has decreased because of the employee contributions. It also, because it's based on 1-1-11 valuation, does not include the 1.6 multiplier for example, AFSCME employees. So that is another decrease in the cost of the current system that's not into this calculation. There may be others that we've other changes we've made as well that are not baked into this since January 1st of this year.
If I could just have a question on this chart we're looking at, if you could explain the why is the cost or the contribution under Scenario 1 higher than the current provision cost?
Yeah. So under Scenario 1, when we get to Scenario 1, if you go back to the amounts on page 2, the development of the contribution, so the item 6 under page 2, that 46.4 and the 5.2 numbers that are on item 6, those are the amounts showing up for 2011. And it's just based upon, we're going to take the unfunded liability and instead of having it, paying it off over a payroll that's anticipated increase, we pay it off over the smaller denominator of the payroll that's anticipated to shrink over time. That's the primary deal. So it's paying it off over the payroll of the of a closed group.
And does that number also take into account the administrative cost to set up a new plan?
No, no. There is the costs shown here are solely looking at the impact on the retirement system. The benefit costs. Thank you. So, yeah, that's a better way to put it. Thank you. So, if you were to look at the next valuation report and this were implemented, you know, in the first year, you'd see a number somewhere around that $46 million. All right. Or, you know, 5.2.
Please continue.
That work? All right. So that thought process that went into page 2 for developing the first year contributions, it continues on its way down. Now it, throughout the rest of the scenarios, and you know, off on the right-hand side, we have savings or cost increase or cost increase for the first 3 years in terms of when you're funding this up faster under paying this off over the current payroll for the first handful of years, the contributions higher, and then then you incur savings by roughly 2015, somewhere in that realm. You'll see the savings of 9.2. That's under Scenario 1, where members are allowed to continue to accrue benefits within the plan. Under Scenario 2, where benefits accrual stop for everyone, you end up with a scenario where there's savings here on out. All right.
Professor Sanfilippo.
Thank you. So you're accelerating the payments into the fund to cover the shortfall in the first few years. Is that why we have those initial 4 years would be a cost increase? Is that by law it has to be done over that short period of time, or is that just a general practice?
General practice is one. There are no... This will come out wrong, so Mark will mop up my language on this. There are no real hard and fast rules in terms of funding plans in the public world. In terms of, like, you go in the corporate world, and ERISA says in great detail, pages and pages will tell you how you fund up a plan. Within the public world, generally the actuary makes use of standards of practice and other general accepted principles in terms of funding up a plan. And for plans that become closed, They say, take a look at over which the period over which the benefits are anticipated to be accrued. Take a look at your time frame. And the general accepted practice for something like that is moving to this method that we have shown here, which is something called the aggregate cost method. Similarly, under the current accounting standards, they actually mention it within there that you do not take in consideration when you're amortizing unfunded liabilities, you don't take in consideration future payroll increases. You don't take into consideration that new pay will be coming in. So the accountants, and it's funny, I went and looked this up because, coming in as an actuary, over two decades ago, it's like, oh, yes, well, that's what we do. We go to this aggregate method. And if you go to look for it, there's nothing that says thou shalt use aggregate until you get into the accounting standards. The rest of it is just understood when you read the standards of practice in terms of over which period do you fund benefits, that it doesn't say use aggregate, but it nudges you towards this method.
So is it possible to spread that cost increase out so that we're not actually, in the initial years, if this change were to go in place, it's not actually going to cost us additional money than what we're putting into the fund now?
Anything is possible in terms of looking at a recommendation and then looking at, what actually gets funded. I'm aware of plans that don't put in, what an actuary would recommend. We have a tendency to recommend this just because it keeps your contributions level as a percentage of payroll and funds it in what a lot of folks would say, what a lot of actuaries would come in and say is a prudent way to go about things. The other aspect of it, to the extent that you don't fund to that level, you end up accruing something called a net pension obligation on your accounting books. And that pension obligation is your shortfall with respect to what the actuary says and what actually goes in the plan. At the moment, because you have put in, back in March of 2009, you put in proceeds from the pension obligation bond of about $397 million. You have a big cushion hanging out there, as it were. So you'd see a decrease in that cushion as a result of this. It wouldn't necessarily completely wipe it out. But from the accounting standpoint, over the next few years, if you chose not to fund with the amounts that are showing up there, you'd show shortfalls over the next few years on the accounting books.
Continue.
All right. This exhibit solely looks at just the cost / savings in the current DB plan. There's a exhibit 2. There is the addition of a what's labeled a 1-4% replacement plan in terms of there's, depending upon your years of service, as you have more years of service, the contribution rate provided for by the county increases over time. And so the amounts, the scenario here is sort of, the layout's sort of similar. We have the current actives and the declining payroll in that first column. The second column is it includes current and future actives. This is sort of a projection of payroll over time. It is based upon the valuation, and it, the valuation does make use of a long-term payroll growth assumption. So those are the basis of contributions that we've used for purposes of projecting contributions within the plan. The current provisions plan, that fourth column, is the contributions we saw on the prior page under the DB plan, under the current provisions of everyone's in the DB plan. Then we have Scenario 1 and Scenario 2. Scenario 1, and both those Scenario 1 and Scenario 2 take the contributions from the prior page and then tack in contributions under the new DC plan, the proposed DC plan there. All right? So this gives a better sense as to the contributions of the new retirement plan, which is a combination of a DB plan for some folks who are closing out that DB plan and a DC plan. And when you look at this, you know, when you look at the cost savings, the savings are a little bit less, the costs are a little bit more, and the primary reason for that is because now we've layered in whatever the DC replacement plan is. But all the other thoughts are the same tucked within this. All right?
Thank you. I was curious, under scenario one, that first line, excuse me, scenario number two for year 2011, why does it have $10.9 million and not the $5.2 million that's on table one? From page two.
Yeah.
Because you pay under 1 to 4% bank.
Yeah, the 10.9 versus the 5.2, thank you. I mean, it's the match. It's the contributions coming in.
So exhibit one, then, does not have any match included at all?
There's nothing in that. Yeah, it's just looking at the DB plan, yeah. It sort of broke it out so that you could see the impact on the DB plan separately from the rest. So exhibit two is a better look in terms of the full replacement plan.
I think it's important for us to get some further information along these lines, and primarily factoring in now the employee contribution cost and how that's going to adjust the savings. From your exhibit here, I mean, in the first 10 years, we can save over $300 million, which is a significant amount of money, but that has to be then tempered by the employee contributions right now.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think it's important that we get that information, that we know... so that we know exactly what the savings are. And also, I think, you know, when we first proposed this back in December, I mean, we had a whole different scenario at that time. And then with the budget repair bill and the changes that have happened now, you know, this thing has kind of taken on a whole new light. And I actually look at this now by switching to a defined contribution along with saving the county cash. Presumably will be somewhere around that $300 million just in 10 years. It's also a benefit, I think, now to the employee where, you know, before they didn't have that benefit, because now that the employee is required to make a contribution under a DB plan, they're required to pay 4, 5, 6% of their salary under a DB plan. If we close the DB plan and we switch to a DC plan, you actually are going to give the employee the choice now. So for a younger employee, for example, who has a family just getting started, he may not be able to afford to put that 6% aside for his own pension, and he may elect not to do that. He can't do that currently under the DB plan. He doesn't have a choice. I'm correct with that?
Yes.
And under a DC plan, he could. And then with the DC plan, whereas an older, more established employee who can start putting money away for savings, he can put in an amount. So this... The changes that have happened in Madison have actually changed the scenario of switching for us, because now not only is it beneficial to the county, but there's a direct benefit to the employee as well. I think another thing that we need to do, because running both plans, both the defined benefit and defined contribution, we can't afford, obviously, to look at cost increases in those initial years. And some of those increases, well, the first year is $20 million and $10 million. So those are significant. So I think we want to try to tailor this in a way that employees will want to switch from the defined benefit to the defined contribution. And I think we can do that by sharing some of our savings with the employees. And I'd like maybe the employee benefits work group, I think, to take a look at a plan, a way to incentivize employees to be willing on their own to say, okay, I'll move from the DB to the DC. And the goal would be to get everybody out of DB and into DC so that we don't have to run two plans. Well, we'll always have to run two plans because the DB plan will always be there. But we want to minimize those cost increases and actually take them all the way down into positive savings. So I think another task that we need to move on further with this, with employee benefits work group, is to maybe come back to us with some recommendations on incentive, on way to, you know, incentivize this so that employees will want to shift to the DC plan.
Supervisor Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess a question about the statement about the $300 million. The $300 million is your assumption of Scenario 2 over the first 10 years?
Yes, on Exhibit 2, Scenario 2.
Closing it to all future accruals for everyone.
Right.
Okay. And then a question for Ms. Langer. If I look at current provisions, projected contributions, so approximately half of that would then be the employee contribution, would be reducing the savings in the columns to the right, because in terms of what the county is saving, because we are not making that full contribution, we are now making half of that contribution.
It's roughly half. It in the end, I know that the budget repair bill said 50%, but if you go back and look at the analysis, there's a portion of it didn't quite get up there because we split out certain
safety
groups
and
public safety and retirees and things of that nature. So, and that's the thing that I need to noodle through. I mean, I think that number in the end, instead of it generally took about a good third to 40%, I think, of that 26.8, and that would be provided for by member contributions. So the current plan provisions are 26.9. I think that number fell to about $18 million, $17 million, somewhere in that range off the top of my head. So not quite half. That would result, so that would add about whatever that number is, $8 million, $9 million of savings to the to be added to the amounts on the right-hand side of that savings cost increase.
Added or reduced?
Would reduce, it increase your savings, it would increase your savings or reduce your costs. English is a second language. Walk me through that. So in this instance, under Exhibit 2, under 2011, if we have a current provision of 26.8, for the current provisions of the plan, and let's just pick a number and say it's $8 million worth of member contributions coming in.
Right.
So that would reduce the contributions from 26.8 to 18.8 million. And then when you see the cost increase under scenario one of 19.7, the cost increase would actually be, you'd add more cost to it. Why can't I do that math at the moment? Isn't that frustrating?
Let's not do it on the fly.
Yeah, let's not do it on the fly. It will change the number. Thank you. No more zeros. Thank you. I appreciate that. It will change the numbers. And the general thought of it is, if members are already picking up pieces if members are picking up part of the cost through member contributions or through some of the reduced accruals that we've seen over the past month or so, within the retirement system, there's less cost to the current retirement system. So that means that the savings we show here are a little higher than they actually would be. Once we adjust this for member contributions, it'd be better to wait to see what the numbers turn out to be.
Okay.
I'm learning that one.
Just to clarify, the overall is that the savings would be less in the column to the right.
The county's tax levy cost, or the county's tax levy savings, is what you're asking.
Right. Would be less because
members are now paying for
members are paying half, or well, some proportion.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. That's what I'm trying to get to. Okay.
All right.
All right. For that line of questioning, I have definitely some other comments.
All right. Gentlemen, why don't you continue on? I know that Supervisor Sanfilippo had a couple of action items there, but I thought let's have you finish, and then we can go back to questions, and anybody in the audience wants to.
That is the end of the prepared comments, because the last exhibit was OBRA, and OBRA, similar thoughts and all that stuff. It's just a much smaller plan.
All right. Thank you. All right. Committee members, Supervisor Schmidt.
Yes.
Well, I know Supervisor Sanfilippo has said, obviously, this needs a lot, I mean, more than just tweaking. We talked about all the circumstances that have come up and the substantial changes that have happened in a year here, because these are all, you know, figures from a year ago. So it's probably a 30-40% difference to what we're talking about, the numbers we're getting right now. It intrigues me as in my financial head, as my hand in personnel, and I want to see the numbers more clearly, and we're going to get that, obviously, okay? But I can see all the employees kind of, I'm getting looks kind of already, and I can see when we put this out with our employees, and we're going to say all the things we've done to them in the last year. Now the unions have to come along with everything we've done to ourselves. I'm talking about the multiplier. I'm talking about retirement. I'm talking about no raises, et cetera, et cetera. All the things we've been through, we're all very familiar with that. It's been a tough goal. And a necessary one. I voted for all those changes, not only to myself, but unfortunately to all the employees, too. This is something we had to do. What I'm concerned about a little bit is that the last budget concerned me, and I spoke to that, and we tried to do something about it because the entire budget was based upon employee givebacks. The entire budget. It's not a way to budget. And, you know, there's other things like economic development, revenue sources, et cetera. We have to somehow get to more balance. Here again, I think, and this can be a longer procedure, too, because I know when we shifted, and we shifted the good way to get people in the HMO and the PPOs, it saved individuals and the county tremendous amounts of money. Okay, now if this can save some money, it's certainly worth looking at, but I'm leaning to it should be an optional kind of thing. People should have the ability to make a choice here. And I know that's maybe a little bit of a nightmare, but that's HR. When we have, you know, the open enrollment system, it certainly is going to be too late for this year. Okay, but people have to understand exactly what's going on here. A lot of education will have to be done here. And people also had admitted is people are paying a lot more. Well, they didn't pay anything for pensions before. We've been doing it for a while, and now everybody else is coming aboard, all the employees in Milwaukee County. So there have been, and I heard yesterday, heard a lot of testimony yesterday for 7 hours on different financial difficulties in the county as a finance member, but you know, it's employees, it's salaries, and benefits are important. And if we keep chopping into benefits, when it was reported by a number of departments, particularly IMSD yesterday, about hiring, we've had a lot of problems hiring and getting people to come. And mostly it's because we are underpaying the market. We always compare public and private, which is very difficult to do. But certainly in the private sector, in most of these areas, I see Mr. Carrion back there and a lot of positions there, we are certainly well under the market. And there's incentives and bonuses and things, and we do not pay in the county, of course. You don't get bonuses and Christmas bonuses and extra incentives based upon performance, et cetera. Except for maybe one exception, I haven't seen many raises going on in the entire county of any substance, including ours, of course, but details. So I guess I want to encourage anything that we do to come back, and that the people will have a chance to have a choice, and HR to do a job, and that, and become an open enrollment, because that's really what needs to be done here. Thank you. Thank you, right. Mr. Chairman there.
Yes. Any other committee members? Supervisor Lipson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move to refer it back to the work group for the follow-up analysis. Initially was more interested in this move to define contribution than I think I am now, and I'm particularly not very interested in the defined contribution plan that was prescribed here, in that the benefit seems to be rather anemic, and I don't see the incentive or why the employee would choose such a plan if given the choice between two options. Because the benefit is so minimal in the early years, and in fact, the incentives are actually disincentives in the sense that the benefit is so small in those early years, And I mean, you're saying that's a benefit for that employee, that young employee, that they might choose to then not contribute. Well, those are perverse incentives. Those are the absolute wrong things to incentivize that person to not choose to contribute to retirement in their early years, because that's exactly against all of the principles of compounding and everything else that should be working to their benefit. So it seems to be a perverse prescription here in terms of what we would provide. And, I think that's unfortunate, but I wish the direction to the work group were a little broader in saying, you know, if we move to a defined contribution plan, what would be the plan that would provide a more comparable benefit, but also set us up to save some money long term on our pension plan. I wish that were the direction provided for.
Sir, agree.
Mr. Chairman, supervisors, obviously it's the direction of the committee, but the work group has talked about things such as Supervisor Lipscomb has talked about. There aren't very many public employers that offer DC plans. So there's not much to compare there. There's a couple, but there aren't very many. We could look out for comparisons in the private world to see what DC plans typically are in the private world. We could also, although it becomes more complex and takes more time for the actuary to do, look at income replacement, which is effectively what Supervisor Lipscomb is talking about. What's the value of the DC plan that you give them in retirement versus the value of the DB plan currently? And so you can look at what would it cost you in a DC plan to provide the same income replacement, or something similar. So if the committee wishes, we certainly can go that direction.
Yeah, I mean, Mr. Chairman, that was always my interest in the move away from defined benefit into defined contribution was really to shift that risk from being entirely on the county in terms of the market risk of performance, and it was not simply to save money by changing a formula in this way, which is, the savings is because you're providing a significantly reduced benefit. I mean, that's just 1%, 1% for the first 10 years. I mean, that's just, graduating at 4% over 30 years. I mean, by the time you're getting the 4% contribution, you've been here an awfully long time. And you have very little time left to improve those investment returns. So I don't know what direction. So how would I elicit that sort of that further analysis out of the work group? I guess that I would ask for it for any analysis they've done or in that direction to return along with this revision.
Well, if I can interject, I think it's clear that we're not going to be voting on this today. However, I think all of our goals would be to incorporate everything that's being said by you, Supervisor Lipscomb. I heard Supervisor Sanfilippo say some other things. I know that Supervisor Cesar wants to speak. So, let's put everything on the table. Let's make sure that everything is looked at. This is a process. This is not something that is going to happen overnight. I don't know, Attorney Grady, were you going to comment on anything?
Very briefly, if I may. Yeah. Mr. Chairman, I don't have the report with me, and neither does Mr. Langer, but he did an earlier report on closing the DB plan and replacing it with a 4% match, just a flat 4% match. And that number was picked because it's approximately half of what your normal cost is now, 8%. And the numbers obviously were much different because the DC plan is more expensive than the current proposal. And the DB plan has changed since then, so things have moved. But you could at least, if you would like, look back to that report and give you some guidance on the difference between the current proposal and a 4% match proposal. But we can incorporate, as the chairman indicated, all of these senses, all these notions, and bring back a fuller report.
Okay. What I would like to do, the county board obviously has monopolized this conversation, and not that I've got any cards from any audience members, but obviously we have a lot of people in attendance today. I'm looking to any of you, if you'd like to speak, this is your opportunity. Obviously, the county supervisors have some other things they want to say, but please.
I'll be happy to pull out a card.
Sure.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Patty Young, Director of Public Policy. The only thing, and obviously we have not had the opportunity to review the report at length in terms of what in fact is being proposed. I would make two points, however. One is that right now you have a two process system, one for the protected class who don't do a contribution and under the law won't have that changed. The second thing is I want to make the board aware that we believe from our legal advice that you may have opportunity to change things for new hires. However, we believe that this is a property right for anyone that is currently employed for Milwaukee County, and it cannot be unilaterally changed. And I just wanted to make that noted. That would be our position for all the individuals that we continue to represent, and we also believe it would be for anyone who is a non-represented that that is, in fact, a property.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody else from our audience? This would be your opportunity. I know that my colleagues want to get back at this, so I'm going to look to Supervisor Lipscomb. I think you still have the floor, and then Supervisor Cesar's is up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On the question of the old study, the 4% analysis, given that that analysis and this analysis don't are sort of both out of date in the sense that they don't include the 1.6 and the contribution share, would I be able to look at those two? This one and that one in comparison, and would I have a good side by side because they're both sort of looking at that point in time?
It'd give you a reasonably good sense. I think the other aspect of it, and graciously that address that report from last year with 4%, and there was an 8% scenario for contributions to find out that appeared. The other deal with it is it was evaluation based upon 20 January 1, 2010 results.
Okay,
so there's like a year's difference in there as well. But the rest of it, the basic plan features are the same. The contributions under the current plan It dipped a little bit from last year to this year in a couple of the years. So they're be somewhat comparable, you know. I mean, because there's a separate. I believe we don't have a separate column for the. Yeah, we don't. Unfortunately, we don't have a separate column for what the DC plan contributions would be over time. Like you could pencil in and back it out. I mean, roughly this 1-4% replacement plan is it falls out to be something wavering around the 2% plan. So if you had the cost, you know, if you wanted to go 4%, sort of double what's showing up here for the DC portion. If you wanted to go to 8, you quadruple it. So
that's helpful. Thank you. I guess for now my motion would be the referral back.
We'll come back to that, Supervisor. I'm going to go to Supervisor Cesar's and then Supervisor Rice.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I wanted to raise my hand before to bring up the fact that we did have that other report, and I hope that maybe that's the stepping stone. We've got Exhibit 1 in today's material that basically says, what if we go from a complete existing plan to a defined contribution plan? Then you've got the second exhibit that averages the graduated match from the county. We can go back now and look at the one that calculated a 4%, but then could we ask that as your analysis, could you take a look at adding in the additional changes then to each of those three two scenarios as to the other changes that have transpired here in the last 9-10 months?
Yep.
Because then we'll have some real concrete tools on which we can then say these look good, or we'd like to modify it in another way, shape, or form. That's what I wanted to bring up, and I appreciate the great starting point that we have here today. So thanks for your efforts on that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Supervisor. Supervisor Rice.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you noted, I think this is an evolving process, and we're not going to solve this issue today, but I think it has been a constructive dialogue, and the information that we've got is helpful as indicated as a sort of a starting point or a jumping off point. My objective, has been not to simply put a new name on a plan, but to bring our retirement system more in line with what the reality is in most other employers in Wisconsin and Milwaukee area and nationally. These are, as we've indicated, defined benefit plans are a dying breed. The public sector is finally catching up with that trend that has been going on in the private sector for decades. So, I think I'll fully say that my objective is not to have the same cost under a different name, but we want to reduce the cost of providing the benefit. By the same token, I appreciate the comments about the match and what kind of a message we send to employees, and so. I would like to have other options available to us and wouldn't necessarily need to dictate the match at this point. I think we need to have that information come back to us at any rate. But I want to see the process move along and that we encourage the study group to come back to us with updated information with perhaps some other options on matches. But again, not at a plan that would be at the same cost of our current plan.
Thank you. Supervisor Sanfilippo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to expand for both Supervisor Rice and Lipscomb, I'm not necessarily married into exactly what I have in that original resolution, and if you come back with your recommendations on what that incentive is to make them to move, I would rather hear that than to you just try to narrowly fit exactly the way it's proposed. So as Supervisor Lipscomb asked for, let's broaden kind of your scope of what you look at. We want you to come back with something that's going to, I think savings are important, as Supervisor Race mentioned, but we also want to build a plan that people will be willing to switch to.
Okay. I'm going to look to Supervisor Lipscomb. You've made the motion, and so I'm going to ask you to repeat that. I would also ask, and I know that you have acknowledged some of our colleagues as far as adding that in, So I know that Mr. Session has taken copious notes, and let's put it all on the table. Let's get it all in there. And Supervisor Lipscomb, why don't you do your motion, and then whatever anybody else wants to add, they can.
All right. I believe restating it would be it's a referral back to the work group to include an update. Of the changes that have occurred, both with respect to the 1.6 multiplier and to employee contributions, and to include an analysis or an update of a previous example of a 4% defined contribution plan, as well as I believe that I'm assuming that the inclusion of Corporation Counsel on the work group will also include this legal question of the difference in terms of scenario one and two, whether there are legal challenges to one or more of those options. Did I encapsulate it all, or miss something?
Well, I was just going to say timeline, December, January, or I guess maybe to ask what's reasonable.
I hope it doesn't take 9 months.
No, it's not going to take 9 months.
Time frame, I know over the next month is just a horrible time to be an actuary, so I would anticipate, for Thanksgiving, you know,
it's a
at least in terms of like,
too,
what's that?
Yeah. Join the crowd if you're in finance.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, at least I get to go back to my cube and.
Actually, does love company. Go ahead.
So I would anticipate a couple of months. For now, that's for the you know, re-upping it with sort of the I don't want to say narrow focus, but let's add in some of the things with regard to things that have changed within the current plan. Try to discuss incentives to move. Bacon, you know, use the current 1-4 amount shown here and a 4%. 4%, just as a broad thought, at least in terms of the contribution amount, that's roughly the same as to what it's in the ballpark of what you're contributing right now for active members. Roughly, once they you factor in their member contributions, it's all the pieces. I would anticipate a couple months, certainly not 9 months. Right. Just other things have consistently crept ahead of this.
December cycle.
Okay. Okay.
December cycle, if possible, then I guess it was. It would need more time to come back and tell us that, I guess.
Okay. Supervisor Caesars.
Covered.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Well, obviously very, very good and lengthy conversation. I'm going to look to the clerk just to maybe it would help you if you wanted to just read that over so that everybody has whatever ideas they wanted into this package so that the next time this is brought up, it's all inclusive. So, Madam Clerk, why don't you see what you have and we can kind of go from there.
Mr. Chair, supervisors, we have, of course, included what Supervisor Lipscomb just stated, but in addition to that, Supervisor Sanfilippo requested that the employee work group, benefits work group, come back with actually incentives, come up with incentives to make employees want to, in fact, go ahead.
If I may, Mr. Chairman,
yes,
what I heard was Supervisor Sanfilippo requesting that the work group come back with a plan that is tailored to incent employees to select a defined contribution plan, in addition to the request from Supervisor Sanfilippo regarding reviewing various models that take into account income replacement while reducing the county's risk and looking toward county savings.
Any questions or comments? If not, Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Sanfilippo.
Aye.
Schmidt.
Aye.
Caesars.
Aye.
Rice.
Aye.
Lipscomb.
Aye.
Haas.
Aye.
Mr. Chair.
Aye.
7 ayes, 0 noes. The motion to refer is approved.
Okay. So I guess we'll do item 11